Praise the Lord, good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm. And we read Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants rooted around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. We thank you for your guidance, your help, your support, your strength. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. Let's come to God with thanksgiving. Give him thanks for all the small and big favors, small needs and big needs that he satisfied, the healing, the protection, the guidance, the assurance, the forgiveness, the salvation. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the good things that we have received from you. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you, Jesus. Lord, our heart full of gratitude this morning for how you sustain us, how you help us, how you protect us, how you led us through this journey of life, even through difficulties and hardship and troubles and persecution. But you let us go through it. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Let's come to God now and ask him forgiveness for our sin, the things that you have done and you are not aware, and the things that you are aware and out of lack of self-control. Ask God forgiveness, and also the sin that you are long time aware and you don't want to give up. Make this day God happy and renounce this sin, that kind of sin that God is not pleased with. Thank you, God. Thank you for the forgiveness of all the shortcomings that we had confessed and the things that we have done unpleasant to you, Lord. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we pray you help us to persevere as we go through the narrow way. No one of us will be tempted to do things wrong, especially the thing that we are aware of it. Lord, help us not to go through such temptations in the name of Jesus. We pray, O Lord, O God, that we'll be living in holiness and we'll be people whom we are pleased with. Come to God now and as God forgive us, let us ask him our need. Let us request him the thing that important for our lives. Pray for yourself, pray for your family. Pray for whatever need in your family. God shall hear and God shall answer according to his will, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, thank you for all answered prayers. I pray for each and every family you bless. I pray for each and every family to be in order. Every husband will lead the family, and you are in his head, O Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each and every wife to be submissive to her husband as to the Lord, as they are leading their family according to your will and plan. I pray also for parents to agree to discipline their children and raise them in the fear of yours and to lead them into your plan. In the name of Jesus, I pray for blessing upon each and every family. I pray that you take all temptations, that each and every family will not be swerved to the right or to the left, doing things not pleasing to you. And we pray also, Lord, that each and every family to be shine before you, so people will see their lives, O God. People will hear your word through their lives and through their preaching, and they will come to you. Let's pray now for the places that we came from, our countrymen, our neighborhood people whom we were raising up in the same place. Let's pray for these places that God will remember them and send his word, that God will bring peace and bring his gospel and use us to be part of the mission to bring the gospel to them. Yes, O God, hear our prayer. Pray for your family, your friends, your neighbors. Yes, Lord, hear our prayer, O God. Have mercy on them, Lord. Reveal yourself to them in the name of Jesus. Lord, use me, O God. Use my brothers and my sisters to bring your word to such places in the name of Jesus. Great you are, O Lord. We trust you for miracles and wonders. Stretch out your hand and do miracles in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let them know you, O Lord, and let them know that we are your servants. Let's pray now also for the place that God had placed his church here in UAE and all the places that the church had been expanded to Kuwait, to Oman, to Philippines, to India, to Sri Lanka, to Iraq, to Australia, America, Sierra Leone, and Malawi. Let's pray for all these places where our brethren, some families, and few of our members have been scattered in these places. Let's pray that God give us favor. Bless these countries and nations, Lord, nations that we had mentioned. O Lord, I pray for all the needs that the church needs, from logistics, documents, provision, that your grace will flow through all these governments, that no rules will come out to oppress us, to hinder us. We come against all the antichrist and anti-ministry, anti-evangelism. We rebuke in the name of Jesus. And we pray, O Lord, that our life will be like the salt in these places, O God, to preserve your word and doctrine, and our life will be a light to bring your word to them. We commit ourselves to pray for the people around us, to preach the gospel to them. Lord, we pray for peace in all these places and prosperity. We seek the prosperity of these places and peace. And Lord, we pray that as they prosper, we too prosper. Prosper each and every one job and visas and income. Let each and every one of us who is working, he will be the light, he will be the salt in his place. In the name of Jesus, we pray, O Lord, for also peace in the Middle East, peace upon Israel, peace upon Jerusalem. We pray that many people will have peace with the nation of Israel. And we pray for your people, the Israelites. O God, open their eyes to know you, Jesus, and to give their life to you. Peace upon Israel, in the name of Jesus. Yes, O God, we continue to pray, O Lord. Now let's pray for the church, pray for yourself, that you will be refilled once again with the Holy Ghost to go on and serve God. Lord, here we are, O God. Refill us once again with the Holy Ghost, and I pray for our brethren have not yet received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, let your Holy Spirit fall right now upon them, O Lord. Fill them, O God. Baptize them and provide all the needs for your church, whatever spiritual gifts, O God, that we lack, you give us, O God. I pray for the gifts of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and message of wisdom, message of knowledge, gift of prophecy, evangelism, gift of teaching, pastoring, gift of healing, gift of faith, Lord, gift of leadership, gift of giving and generosity, we pray, shall be upon your church and your people. Refill us, O God, and use us mightily. Lord, hear our prayer. I pray for more souls will be reached out, more people to repent, more people to be saved, O God, more people to receive water baptism in the name of Jesus, more people to raise up to serve you, O God, hear our prayer, O Lord. We thank you, God. We magnify, Lord. Even here we are today as we gather to worship you, Lord. Lord, anoint our worship, O God. Anoint all the songs, anoint the prayers, anoint your word, anoint the item of giving. I pray as we worship, as we serve you today, that we meet you face to face, O God, that your name will be glorified. I pray you touch each and every one of us, O God. Transform our life in the way that you want it to be in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you, Lord. I pray, O God, even this recording, anointed, O Lord, let your name be glorified. Let your name be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. We magnify you, Lord. Take this recording and make it reach the places that you want it to reach. We thank you and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand to be in His presence and let us enter the most holy place with boldness by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, you make a way for us to reach God our Father.
Light of the world, we step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. We live in that name, this light of glory. All of our lives, we pray to you.
find your God. We magnify you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name.
Bless your holy name, O God. We know, Lord, yeah, you hold in your hand heaven and earth and all the circumstances and all the situations around us. We trust you, God, that you do wonderful things, O Lord, and with this confidence in you, with that faith, O God, we come to give you praise and glory and honor for all what you have done and all what you are going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's clap our hand and give him the praise and honor and the glory that belong to him. I believe. Trust you, God, that you are at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, leading us with the Holy Spirit, guiding us, O Lord, and with that hope in you that you will come and take us. We continue to live by your word. We continue, Lord, that we will live a life pleasing unto you. O Lord, take us deep in love with you, deep in more commitment, O God, to do the things that you are prepared in advance for us to do. I pray for diligence, I pray for faith, I pray for strength that comes from you to continue the work and the mission that you entrust to us till you come and take us with you to heaven. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Buried through my deepest sin, all that.
Presence, let us give attention to his word and heed what he will further speak to us. I believe that he has spoken to us today and during worship. I believe that he had spoken to some of you here. And even, I trust, to other places where this recording will go. God will speak. Let us honor the Lord now with our tithes and our offerings and our first fruit. God command us to give first our hearts and life to him fully. Then the rest of the material things, that all what we have is from him. We thank the Lord for this wonderful time of worship. Even as we had worship you, Lord, with our tithes and offering and first fruit, we trust to God that you will open the windows of heaven and bless us. And Lord, you are going to rebuke also the devourer in our life. And you will pour out so much blessing that we have no place to keep. Lord, I claim these promises to all the brethren and the families and the workers here and to the rest of our brethren and other congregations of the church, wherever this recording will go. We pray blessing will flow and overflowing, and let every nation know we are blessed by you. We thank you, God. Anoint my lips, Lord, as we continue to listen to your word, O God. Direct your church, direct us, each and every one of us, to do the very things that you want us. Lord, as we sung, as we commit ourselves, I live by your word. I pray that this word, these prayers, will come through in the life of your church, in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of all the members, families, workers, elders, and pastors of this church of yours. We bless you, magnify you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 5, and we will read today verse 17 to verse 20 from the Sermon of Jesus on the mountain. We learn good lessons. Today we will read Matthew 5, verse 17 to verse 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, anoint my lips, and let your word give you glory and honor and teaching to us, to feed us, to direct us, to teach us things of yours. We bless you. Take this word and bring the fruit that you desire, 30, 60, and 100 in the life of your church and your people. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here the Lord spoke clearly after he showed his disciples and to us today the style of life, as we have read in Matthew 5, verse 3 to verse 12, what kind of style that he wants us. And as he going to send his apostles and disciples, and we are today, as we are going to send, to be sent and to minister to the people around us, we know that we are the salt of the earth, to conserve the word of God, to live it with the strictness that he taught us with, and also to be the light, to spread it to others. Now, he made it clear to his disciples and to us today. He taught them, because when he spoke to them these things from verse 3 to 12 about how to live the style, to be meek, to be pure heart, to be willing to be persecuted, all these things, he wanted to make it clear to them that he did not come to destroy the Old Testament, the prophets and the law of Moses. He said to them, I did not come to nullify it or take it away, I had come to destroy it. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He told them that all what I am going to teach you, that is not to destroy what was written in the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. And we understand now that we need to honor the Old Testament, what is written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and all what we have in the scriptures. We need to live it, and we need to also fulfill it in our life, because that's what the Lord said, that is the commandments of God. Now, how to fulfill it? We need to understand how to fulfill it. We need to fulfill it with the purpose that God has sent it for. Jesus did not speak here about to fulfill it literally, but the purpose of it. What was the purpose of the law? What is the purpose of the commandments? What is the purpose of the writing of the prophets? There's a purpose. And we need to dig out in the scripture to find the purpose. We need to fulfill the purpose, and that's the way how to fulfill the scriptures, the law of God, the law of the law that written in the scriptures, and what the prophets had wrote in the scriptures. So that's very clear, that we need to read and expound the Old Testament. Now, what's going on? Churches, they don't expound or stress on the Old Testament teaching. But if you go to the New Testament, it's all based and rooted also from the Old Testament, the scriptures. And Jesus came to fulfill it. We need also to fulfill it with the mind and the purpose of God of allowing scriptures that is here in our hands. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, we need to understand how to fulfill the scriptures. Matthew 22. Why we need to read the scriptures of the Old Testament? Why we need to know them, and how we will fulfill them? That's the question. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35 to verse 40, there's one lawyer asked Jesus a question, from the answer of Jesus, we can understand what is the purpose of the law and the prophets and how we can fulfill them. Now we are in the grace of God. Now in the New Testament, by the blood of Jesus, we are saved. But Jesus came to fulfill, not to destroy the law. In verse 35, Matthew 22, verse 35 onward to 20, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now we understand now from verse 40 that the law and the commandments of the prophets hang on love. To love God with all our heart and emotion and soul and strength and thinking. And that's what Jesus took from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. All the commandments of God in the law and the prophets came based on love. To love God and to love the neighbor and third, to love yourself. We need to love three of them. Sometimes we are getting two out of three. Sometimes we are loving only ourselves. Sometimes we are loving God and loving others, but we forget ourselves. Sometimes we are loving God only, but we forget the other two. So we need to get three of them. In the book of Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, verse 4 and 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, the way you think, the way you feel. Even the feeling must be based on scriptures. And with all thy soul, with all the way you think, and with all thy might, with all your strength. All strength you have to be given to the Lord. Not to gym or to exercising, you know, to make yourself nicely looking. You get the point here? All the strength given to God, the way you think and your emotion belong to the Lord also. And when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, he took that from book of Leviticus. Book of Leviticus chapter 19. See here, even the answer of Jesus to the scribes, he was answering them from the Old Testament to show them, to show us disciples, to show us today how we need to fulfill the Old Testament. We cannot neglect it. And Leviticus chapter 19. We need to fulfill the commands based on love. Why God said, do not covet? Because that will have lust. And after that, we'll go into temptation and trouble yourself and trouble your neighbor and trouble God. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge. This is New Testament. Nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. He said, don't put anything in your heart. That needs more training and more discipline. And more cleansing. That's how we love. Don't put a grudge. Don't revenge, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's all they hear on these two commandments, based the commandments of the law and the prophet. To love God, to love your neighbor, and to love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no selfishness. That's here. Sometimes, you know, balance. Sometimes we are going toward ourselves more. Sometimes we forget ourselves, we go to our to love our neighbor more and we neglect ourselves. You have to be balanced. See the balance? Sometimes, you know. So when you're getting more to your neighbor, reduce it. Start to love yourself. And then look to God. Look to the scriptures. Apostle Paul also spoke the same. You know, but before that, why did Jesus say, think not in Matthew chapter 5, when he say, in verse 17, think not that I come to destroy the law. Why he said to his disciples? Because they were around him also, the Jews, the crowd, they are hearing him. And maybe they were thinking that, oh, he's giving now new commands, all these things. So what about the Old Testament? This man come to destroy? He said, no, don't think this in your mind. Don't put in your mind that I am coming against the law of God. No, I am coming to fulfill it. So that what he explained to his disciples is preventive measure against what they think wrong about him. That's why here we need to expose the scriptures. Those scriptures, and we need to live it. People sometimes may misunderstand or that we need to clarify. If we have done wrong, we have to correct ourselves and go back so that people understand that we live to fulfill scriptures. Now, so we understand now that we need to fulfill the commandments of God based on love, not based on, you know, because the commands of God had been used in a wrong way. It should be based on love, but people use it for greed, for injustice, for wrong motive in their heart. They use the scripture to fulfill things that are wrong and against God. Just recently somebody asked me about Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Let us read. And that is pertaining to love your neighbor as yourself. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. And he asked me about the explanation of it. Say, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. He said that whatever you want men to do to you, you do to them also. Now how we can go along this, how we can explain? I explained to him in this way. I don't know if you want to continue to receive help and love and support from your parents and to be blessed by God, you need to honor them and you need to respect what they are saying to you. As long as it's from the scripture. I told him also, he's in the still studying. I told him also, if you want to your teachers in the school or college be happy with you, you study well, because you need to study well so that you can answer the exam. You want, because here's the point, you want them to give you good mark, you need to study. And then he asked me, can this apply in the transaction of in the market? I say yes. If you're going to sell something, you want your customers to come back to you. You say yes. He say, okay, don't take too much profit. If you want customers to come back to you, yeah, don't ask much. Get a reasonable also profits, so they will come back. And if you will buy something also, you get good price, not very low price. Give also some income and profit to those who are selling to you, so they can also give you what you need. So it is to do our responsibility toward the other person in relationship. And that's what he says in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. These are some of the scriptures that is we try to escape when we read the Bible to apply them in our life. But God is bringing us back to the point that we fail. We need to obey. Matthew 7 and 12, the same. You say, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now here is very clear that he told them that if you want whatever men want to do to you, you do to them. That is all what the prophets speaking and the law. The purpose of the law and the prophet to keep that love and that healthy relationship with one another. So there is responsibilities and there are privileges. We receive privileges when we do our responsibilities. We fail in our responsibility, we will not receive the privileges. He said, if you want to get the privileges, do your responsibility. And that is what is based in the scripture. And that is also what we understood the love. Because if you compare scriptures, here speak about all what is in the commandment is to do to others as you with them do to you. So that is here. Do to others to the, you with them do to you. In other scripture, he said that is the love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Apostle Paul also did the same. So here Jesus, he told them, I am coming to fulfill them. But in a way different than what you are doing. But when go to God, it is the perfect way. Why God say, do not commit adultery? Because this sin against God, sin against also your neighbor, transgressing barriers. Somebody else, woman, or even the girl, she's a daughter of a man, a family, you just take her like this. And we get the point here, there is borders that God does not want us to cross when he put the law. Apostle Paul did the same also. In his, he did not say that that Christ came to nullify the law, but he came to fulfill it. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 31, Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yeah, we establish the law. He's telling them, now by our faith in Christ, we are saying to the law, we are forbidding the law. We are nullifying the law. You see, no, God forbid. We make it of no value, you say no. Yeah, we establish the law. We came to fulfill the law of God. Which law? The law of love. To do to others what you want them to do for you. God keep commands so that we will know how to do to others what we want them to do to us. If you want the government to be good, we need to do our part well to do the what is the requirement and to pay whatever transaction needed. So there is a balance. What is your rights and what's your privileges? And also in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. It means that he came to fulfill it. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. So here he put it together. Christ did not come, and we did not come to break the law, but we come. Christ came to fulfill it, and we do who follow him. Let's read Romans 13. How Paul spoke about the fulfillment of the law and the prophets through love. Romans 13. And verse 8 to 10. Say, oh, no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. Love work no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He make it very clear. He get the commandments, the Ten Commandments, from the Ten Commandments, and he work it out that these commandments based on love. And if we will love God and love our neighbors, ourselves, we will fulfill these scriptures. We will not covet. We will not have lust. We will not do murder. We will not do bad things against God and against ourselves and against our neighbors. Now here, also it is clear now that the law should be used in the right way. Based on love, the law should be used. Now, we have to be careful that the law was used along the centuries and years with the wrong motive, out of greed. People use scripture out of greed. They will cheat. They will steal. They will destroy using the scriptures. They use the scripture to stone the prophets who brought to them the word of God. Have you got the point here? Now, when they say, I come to fulfill it, it means that we need to use it precisely. And what is the purpose behind it? With a pure heart, pure motive, out of love, we execute the scripture. We do what God wants us to do. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 5. So from the scriptures we understand a lot of things. That the New Testament, we should not have a grudge, we should not revenge, we should not retaliate against one another. We do all things based on love. Not retaliation, not fighting, not destroying. In Matthew 5, in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The word verily, it means amen. Or surely. He tells them that. You see this heaven and earth? It will pass. Until it will pass, the law will remain. But he's saying to them that as long as you can see heaven and earth, don't think any scriptures or the commandments of God will be nullified or can bypass it. And some people, they will leave the church. Okay, you leave the church. How about the commands of God? It will be nullified? No, it is standing. The commands of God is more strong than heaven and earth. As long as you can see heaven and earth, the law that you will not do, God will use them to judge you. What do you mean here by till heaven and earth pass? It means I understand that the scriptures in our hand is complete. There's no other scripture that I need to look for, because that's what God say. That no one can take the scripture, break scripture, or nullify scriptures. No one. Because that's the promise of God. It will stand. Even people hide it, ban the Bible, destroy it, try to destroy the church, to stone those who bring to them the scriptures. Let them do. But God say, I will keep this word. As long as you can see heaven and earth, then you know the scriptures are still there. One jot or one tittle. Jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. So the smallest command of God, God wants us to do it. One tittle, tittle is a small dot over a letter or some, there's a letter and they put some dot or some little strike of pen over it or under or beside it. So the letter will be different than other letter. Even the small instruction in the scriptures, God will watch over it to be fulfilled. We cannot nullify it. We cannot remove it. We cannot let it go. In verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, he say, here speak about somebody going to break this commandment. How we break it? By, you know, certain time, man has authority and he wants to be over the word of God. Either he will not teach it, or he will live contrary to it, or he will teach others to break it. If we teach people, we allow people to divorce and remarry, what we are teaching them? Adultery. If we will not teach about tithing and giving, what we are teaching them? Stealing. We need not only to teach and to live, but we need also to implement it. To implement the scriptures so that it will not be broken. It will not, we are not nullifying them. We bring them again into our lives. We need to face them. We need to interact with the scripture until they are fulfilled in our lives and in the life of His church. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. It means that we have the authority certain time to teach people to do the contrary to the scriptures. What God would do? He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, how what he mean here, that those who break the commandment and teach men to do so, they'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. It means either he will be the least in the church, that he will be finally out of the church, or the least in the kingdom of God, heaven is that he will either lose his salvation, or he will enter the kingdom of God after he lost all what he had done or achieved. Like he escaped from hell from the hell of fire, but by God allowing all what he had done or achieved will be destroyed along the time. And that's what God did to Lot. When he decided to live in Sodom, to be away from God's will, God allowed that for him to be saved. He needed to accept to lose his wife, his house, his daughters who are married, his sons-in-law, his material things. He was willing to lose everything for his salvation. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now here, opposite to those who break and teach men to follow the same wrongdoing. So that's what he's saying to them. That's where here the temptation of man, the temptation in the church. That those who teach, they have more authority to break than others. So we need to be very careful. We need to do it, to live it, and we need to implement it. But you see here, those who do live them and teach the same, they'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. In verse 24, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now here, it's very clear when he said that you will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And the next verse, he told them that you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It means that there is the loss of salvation, and when we don't do the right things, or we wrongly apply the scripture for our own benefit, we twist the scriptures for our own benefit, that God will judge. See here, look at this. For I say unto you, to whom he was saying it, not only to his apostles or disciples or those who are after him, he was saying to the rest of the crowds who know, the scribes and the Pharisees, what he's telling to them, that don't look to the scribes. Well, who are the scribes? The scribes, those who are copying the scriptures. They know it's in the scripture. They are the one who teach the scriptures. They expound the scriptures. But their life, they know the word of God, but their life is not applying, they don't apply the scriptures in their lives. He say, don't follow those. Don't think that this is your standard. If you will follow what they are doing, then your righteousness is like them. They are defective. He say that you need to be better than they. See how God, how Christ wants us to fulfill the scriptures in the correct way. And about the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were the strictest people in the society. But they were using the scriptures to fulfill their own benefit. They have greed, they have wrong motive, they have other agenda. They were using the scriptures to fulfill their own benefit. And they were, doctrinally, they were not sound. That we say to them, if you will do the same as they, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 23, how we will use the scriptures, the Old Testament, and the law, and how Christ used it, and how the apostle use these scriptures, not for wrong motive, not to revenge, not to destroy things. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, when he told them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He speaks to them about four things here, about tithings, about judgment, about mercy, and about faith. Four things. They were doing the first tithe, but the other thing they were not doing. He say four that need to be fulfilled. Judgment, mercy, and faith, it have to be done. And also that I think. We cannot only give our tithe and we think that we are safe. No. There are other things. You know, it's easy sometimes to give money and don't interfere with other things. Like judgment. Which time we omit judgment or we not allow judgment. Judgment is when action needed to be done. But we don't do it because we consider ourselves to affect us. And we also giving respect to man, not to God. And we get the point, wrong motive, not because they are merciful. And most time we we omit mercy. When we know the person is repenting, but still we are holding mercy while it is in our hand to give it. He deserved it or she deserved it, but you did not do. And faith is when we live our life and walk in life not based on God's plan or will or doctrine, but on our own way of life. He told them, you are living your own life, your own plans. When even you know it is out of mercy, you need to do these things, you don't do it. He was not judging them because they are not aware. They were aware of it very well. They are very aware that you withhold judgment, certain action, because not because God or out of mercy. You do not do it because you will be affected, and certain people that you have affairs with them, they will be affected. Now, such things, corruptible things, we can see it very clearly also inside the church, even today. That's why we have scriptures. And we need really to judge ourselves with the scriptures when we read. And we really need to discipline ourselves. Sometimes we go far away, we need to really press on ourselves hard to repent and come back to God. And we need to change our motive, because everything is exposed before God and before man. And God will not allow us to go on in a bad way. Now, as we have read in Matthew 5, when he said to them in Matthew 5, 15, Matthew 5, 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He says here about the candle, we are the light of the world, they have to put in the candlestick. And we understood that from the scripture, the candlestick is the church. That is what Jesus explained, what is the candlestick in the that was in his hand in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. He said, these are the churches. Now, let's read Revelation 1, verse 20. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, speaking about to fulfill the law of the prophets, based on love to God, love of neighbor, and love for ourselves. And based what he say, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the reason that God took Adam away from the Garden of Eden because of unrighteousness, and God to make us enter the kingdom of heaven, to allow us to enter the kingdom of heaven, he will not allow us if we are unrighteous, because it is unjust for other sins to be disciplined, and we want to be like them, to their place, but we have no discipline. So he's saying to them, you need to observe the scriptures and your life, not to follow the bad examples. He was speaking to them that your righteousness should exceed those, the Pharisees and the scribes. In these seven churches that Jesus spoke and sent letters to them, we will study each and every church, and we will find out where are the scribes and the Pharisees in these churches, and we can apply that in our lives. so that we can repent. And we can do the things that please God, and our righteousness come from the faith and belief in the blood of Jesus, and living the word that He gave us. From the book of Genesis, to the book of Revelation. God's willing, from next week we will study these churches and we'll come back to Matthew 5 to continue understanding lessons from the sermon of Jesus on the mountain. Let's all stand. As we are light of the world, we have the style that Jesus wants us to live, and to be the salt of the earth, we need to be aware. Who are the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament church? We need to study them, study these churches, so that we will be aware how to love and how to fulfill the commandments of God in our lives. Thank you all for your word. Lord, we sang this song, I Live By Your Word. Lord, this is my prayer, this is my desire. And Lord, I commit myself once again to you. I pray, O God, that I will be aware, discerning of how to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might, and how to love my neighbor as myself. Teach me your ways, O God, as I decide and I delight to live by your word. Come to Jesus and pray and sing to him, and let this song be your prayer, and you will harvest, and you will harvest eternal life that God promised, the righteous God who sent his Son Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We bless you for your word. Your word, O God, and spread it. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm. so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen.